What I would like to speak on for a little while is a mocked Messiah. You know, this world that we live in, as one might treasure one day over the next, or value one day over the next, this world values this particular day as a day to honor dads. And certainly, today is Father's Day. Each first day of the week is. It is a day when we come here to worship the Almighty God. And this morning, if you would, as a segue, I might just say that I want to talk about the relationship between a father and a son this morning, and the example of obedience that we have in the life that our Lord and Savior lived. The darkest hour ever recorded, I think, in history is during the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was the Master's darkest hour. I would think that the silence of loneliness echoed throughout His heart. And I know that He must have been more alone at that time than any other time before or since. I've heard people reference Jesus hanging from the cross or hanging between heaven and earth as if He were fit for neither. I can't imagine how lonesome a position that might be. He was rejected by His kinsmen, He was neglected by the apostles, and He was forsaken by many others. Even the sun, which the Lord, the Almighty God, had created the fourth day of time, refused to shine in the last hours of His life. And while on the cross of Calvary, I don't expect that there were any words of encouragement given or comfort to Him. Instead, I'd like to read to you the things that were said. So if you will, turn with me to Matthew, the 27th chapter, and I have a few lengthy readings in the lesson this morning, and I hope that you'll follow along. Matthew, the 27th chapter, we're going to read verses 40 through 51, which says this, "And saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave to him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. These religious people and leaders and teachers of the people left all of their common daily activities, their work and everything, so as to join those who would revile the Son of God. They haunted Him. They contradicted Him. They persecuted Him throughout all of His ministry, and now they would not even allow Him a peaceful moment in which to leave this world. They tormented Him up to the very last moments of His life. They said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. This was evidence that Jesus was a pretender, an imposter. They further reviled Him by saying, He is the King of Israel. They added that if He would now come down from the cross, then they would believe Him. We're caused to wonder at how any man, much less the chosen people of God, could take such joy in persecuting someone of this sort, the Son of God. They asked him to perform a miracle in rescuing himself from the cross. And Jesus never performed any kind of miracle for this kind of motive. This was the same proposition that Satan gave Jesus when he tempted him over in Matthew, the 4th chapter, in verse 3, also in verse 6. Verse 3 says this, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou wilt be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread.'" Over in verse 6 it says, "And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." You know, it should be noted that even at this time, they had no evil charges, not valid evil charges against Jesus. If they could have found anything at all in what he had taught, what he had said, a deed that he had done to throw up in his face at this time and to accuse him, they would have done that. They had to come up with false charges in order to do that, and in so doing, they became unwilling witnesses to the goodness and the purity of his life. They couldn't have believed on him even if he had come down from the cross. You understand that? We understand that. I understand that because he had done miracles as great as this, and they had not yet believed on him. They said that he trusted in God and that he claimed to be the Son of God. So if that's true, then let God deliver him now. How sadly they misunderstood our Savior. They thought that because God permitted him to die on the cross, to be cruelly crucified, that he wasn't the Son of God. And how faulty their reasoning was in so doing. Because if you and I were to ever have hope, this is exactly why he had to die. To deepen an appreciation for the sacrifice that Jesus made for man, consider these words more carefully. Those who had surrounded Golgotha with their mockery made light of 6 different facets of the life of Jesus. And I put those on the board. I hope you can read them. I don't usually write in cursive. I print things because people can't read my cursive writing. But I hope that those are clear. They mock the might of Jesus, the Messiahship, and the mission of Jesus. He was mocked with regard to his majesty, his mind, and his message. And for the remainder of our time this morning, I'd like to talk about each of those. They mocked the might of Jesus. "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself," were their words. Upon cleansing the temple, Jesus' enemies asked him for a sign that would indicate the authority by which he performed this action. And Jesus replied, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again." John 2 and verse 19. The Jews mistook his words to be a reference to a physical temple that had been under construction for a number of years. Instead, Jesus was talking about his resurrection from the grave. Jesus' enemies never got over the words that he had to present to them regarding the temple. In fact, when they searched for made-up charges in an effort to call for Jesus' death, these words were brought up again. Read with me, if you will. We're going to turn to Matthew, the 26th chapter this time. And we're going to read verses 57 through 62. Verse 57 says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? So as he hung from cruel Roman spikes, his life pulsating in his open wounds in his hands and his feet, his face dried up in what would be human spittle, his back stripped from the scourging of an unjust trial, his heart weary over the needs of man, his enemies made light of something they didn't understand. And certainly, our Lord and our Savior was a mocked Messiah. They mocked his Messiahship. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross, were their words. If you're the Son of God, were words that sided Jesus' enemies with the devil, who had used the same terminology when tempting Jesus in the wilderness. Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 11 say, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. In healing a man sick of palsy, Jesus challenged his enemies with his deity when he said, my son, your sins be forgiven. These are words that he had said to this invalid person. Such was misunderstood as blasphemy, for the only one that could forgive sins was God. Jesus, thus, had to explain that his ability to perform miracles and his identity as the Son of God went hand in hand, according to Mark, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 12. Jesus' enemies never got over his claims of deity. To Pilate, they said, he made himself out to be the Son of God, in John, the 19th chapter, and verse 7. They said, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he hath made himself the Son of God. They didn't agree that he was the Son of God, and they didn't accept the fact that others said that he was the Son of God. Rather, they viewed his claims of deity as the unfounded self-assertions of Jesus himself. They lacked the courage to deny his claims with sound logic and founded argumentation. However, their cowardice grew a backbone when he hung on the cross. So much so that they threw their denials into his face. He was a mocked Messiah. They mocked his mission. He saved others. He cannot save himself, were their words. Jesus came to this world on a mission of mercy, according to Luke 9, verse 10. John 3 and verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. To provide evidence of who he was and why he came to earth, he directed their attention of his enemies to the words of John the Baptist and the miracles of his father, the words of his father, the Old Testament scriptures, and specific words of Moses. Turn with me, if you will, and let's read in John the 5th chapter. We're going to read verses 30 through 47. In John the 5th chapter, it says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from men, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Yet Jesus' enemies never understood his mission. John 6, verses 51 and 52 says, and these are in the words of Jesus, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give in my flesh, which I will give of the for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus' enemies never got over their disappointment in his mission. Read with me, if you will, in John the 8th chapter. We're going to read verses 31 through 59. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of the father, of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answereth the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than the father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. In his darkest hour, they thought they had the last word in ridiculing his mission of mercy. He was a mocked Messiah. They mocked his majesty. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Those were their words. God had promised the coming of an everlasting king. 2 Samuel 7 verses 12 and 13. And when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. We see that God had promised the coming of the everlasting king, and Jesus came to be this king. Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5 say, All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. We also see that the coming king would be reigning over a spiritual kingdom. John 18, verses 36 and 37 say, is where Pilate was speaking to him. And he said, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And yet his enemies never understood the true nature of his kingdom or his royalty. While he was yet among men, even his own apostles had difficulty grasping some of the spiritual aspects of his kingdom. Acts 1 and verse 6 says, When they were therefore come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Jesus' enemies never got over their disappointment of him being the spiritual king rather than a literal king, relieving them of their civil oppression. In calling for his death, they cried unto Pilate, "We have no king but Caesar," in John the 19th chapter and verse 15. Can you imagine how repulsive it must have been for them to utter such a cry as this? Think about this. They despised Roman oppression. And they longed for deliverance from it. And yet they were willing to wallow in the pretense of hypocrisy, to stoop to perjury. They were willing to do almost anything to rid themselves of the menace called Jesus and to expose him as a false king that they thought him to be. Since Pilate would not remove the words that were over his cross that he was the king of the Jews, they encompassed Golgotha and denounced the saying. Again, he was a mocked Messiah. They mocked the mind of Jesus. He trusts in God, let him deliver him now if he takes pleasure in him or if he will have him, is what one translation says. And these were their words. Jesus trusted in God fully. Listen to his prayers that you can find in John the 17th chapter. And I'm not going to read that at this time, but I encourage you to read that. I really think that everyone ought to read Jesus' prayers. There's not a person that will not need to approach God in prayer for strength to be able to bear up under some of the things that we are confronted with in this life. And we need to listen to the words of Jesus in his time of sorrow and in his time of death. Read with me, if you will, in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 37 through 39. It says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." At least three of the seven statements made by Jesus from the cross were addressed directly to his Father. And yet his enemies never understood his trust in God. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 46 through 49 says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man called for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." As if to rub salt in the wounds of rejection and satisfy their prejudicial hatred for Jesus, the Jews threw God into the face of Jesus. They scoffed at him. "If God wanted you, why will he not have you?" They made light of his trust, and they made him a mocked Messiah. And they mocked his message as well. He said, "I am the Son of God," are the words that concluded their ridiculing of him. And though humble, Jesus did claim to be the Son of God. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 and 29, and then the 12th chapter, verses 17 and 18. Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew the 16th chapter, verse 18 says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." John the 6th chapter, verse 38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Such claims, again, were misunderstood. John the 6th chapter, verses 41 and 42, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.' And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?'" Jesus' enemies never got over his claim of deity. John, the 10th chapter, verses 33 through 38 says, "The Jews answered him, saying, 'For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God.' Jesus answered them, 'Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do the works of my Father, believe me not. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Also in Matthew, the 26th chapter, the last verses that I'll read this morning, Matthew 26, verses 63 through 66 says, "But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' And Jesus saith unto him, 'Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?' They answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.'" They couldn't refute or disapprove his message. They could only respond to the false with false and meaningless assertions, indictments, and still they had the audacity to flaunt their disbelief in his face and mock the claims he had proven to be true with flawless logic, fearless courage, and unquestionable signs. He thus died a mocked Messiah. In conclusion, today man can still add insult to injury. It is possible to put Jesus through the trauma of Calvary once again. It is possible to expose him to the cursed disgrace of Golgotha once more. Such is accomplished every time a Christian turns away from the paths of righteousness to apostasy. Hebrews the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 6. Instead of bringing shame to Jesus, Christians are to let their light shine so as to bring glory to God. They will be encouraged to do so out of a deeper appreciation for the Lord if they will study and avoid the sentiments of those who cause Jesus to be a mocked Messiah. Let's not also be found in those shoes. You know, the devil works in some very subtle ways, and we can do these things again today if we are not but careful about how we live our lives and how we behave in this world. The lesson is yours. I hope that I have said something that is helpful to us in living our lives as Christians and maybe in preparation for the purpose that we are here this morning. to cast our minds in the direction of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He made for us. You know, it's difficult for me to think. So many times we think of the physical things that our Lord and our Savior suffered in dying on the cross. But it's hard for me to think about those things and not think about the emotional side of things and what He must have suffered, the injury that He must have suffered emotionally as a result of hanging there on the cross and being a mocked Messiah.